Hello! Hello and welcome to episode 7.
Is it 7?
Yes.
7
episodes. I remember because I did actually create the blog post for the previous one as episode 5, then check the old one, and it was still also episode 5. So I had quite some significant changes.
So we need to come up with change control now. I know. Us, right?
Episode 7 of The Ops Team, the weekly show where we discuss all of the latest news and current events and current affairs around operations technology and ops dev stroke DevOps. We all made it to the studio this time. Time zones allowed us to do that this time.
And I'm glad to see that Ooze over here. Oh, O's over here.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see that O's over here is actually present as opposed to being a pelican case.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
the pelican brief.
I slept in the studio just in case.
Okay, that's good. It's my sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. We've done our due diligence this week. We've charged the cameras.
Nice.
One and two.
Nice.
We've tested the microphones.
Okay.
One, two, three, four.
And I'm trying to remember which camera angle is what. So
yes.
this is me talking, right?
Yes.
And then that's you guys talking.
Is it?
I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys. Okay, good.
I can see you on the left-hand screen.
The left-hand.
Yeah.
Ignore this.
Right.
This is what's important over here.
Lovely. We are go. We are
nice.
Go. So reassuringly, this should be successful, moderately so. And we have noises as always. So I guess it's time to turn it over to whoever's going to go first. What is our spinner this week? Seeing as still we're waiting for that carpenter to build us that spinner.
Well, I got to say that this is actually, I'm going to say, one of the more useful aspects of this particular phone right now.
You've had a few challenges.
I've actually determined that the phone itself, audio is all screwed up. Like, I can't hear people when they call me. So for the odd occasion when someone actually calls me, I can't hear them.
Does anybody ever actually call you?
Well, some people do. Some people do. So you probably can't see this on screen, but I actually took a nice photo of Mr. Simon May.
You can
hold up that one, and then so switch it to this. And then there we go. There's Mr. May.
Yeah.
Back to us. He's going to be your pointer today to see who's going to be going first. So let's give him a nice little spin there.
Yep.
And see where it ends up. Where it stops, nobody knows.
What are the choices? On-prem, devices,
I'm going to say that you rigged
the cloud.
It's fixed. It's absolutely fixed.
Right.
I admit it.
Let's get my timer up.
All set, man?
Yes. I'm ready for 5 minutes, I think.
Nice.
Using our technological timer.
So I could have had an extra 15 seconds if I started right now.
Shut up, will you? Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to press it in a minute. I'm going to press it now.
There we go. So we announced Azure Backup a couple of weeks ago back in December. Back in November timeframe maybe it's December. Turn of the month, we announced Azure Backup as now being available for everybody to use. We actually have already gone ahead and made improvements and made them available for you to use today, including the ability to go ahead and to back up 54 terabyte drive.
That's a very specific number.
I don't know where they came up with it. Basically, it's very large drives.
How old are you, John? 54.
There you go. That one there is now available. We're also now taking advantage of USN journaling on Windows volumes to be able to make it faster, for being able to only take the changes as opposed to just the blocks of data, which comes up there. We've changed our retention policies, which now can have the maximum number of recovery points increased from 366 to 9,999.
So what does that give you in terms of, could you have one recovery point a year?
A really frickin' point of time.
Nice.
My math is not that good. No. So anyway, that one there is there. And don't forget, the Microsoft Azure Backup Server has similar capabilities to what you can do in DPM as far as backup is concerned, for having centralized backup to local box. And then that goes and caches it up inside of Azure Storage. But does not require DPM licenses or system center licenses to be able to run. Works for Windows and Linux, so go ahead and try that one out. It's great for doing backups. That's one of the items I want to talk about. Another one was actually a good friend of mine, Joe Levy. You guys remember Joe from the automation team, has been doing a bunch of stuff. Did an interview with him a while ago with Jeffrey Snover talking about being able to run native PowerShell inside of OMS. You guys call it OMS?
I don't say you guys. I'm not in charge of any naming. OMS.
I don't know.
It's the operations management suite.
Yes,
darling.
Anyway, he now is mentioning the fact that they now have support for the ARM capabilities inside of the Azure Automation Runbooks, whereas previously they were still using the legacy version of the Service Manager services configuration.
So what does that mean for people then? They could have a runbook that...
They could have a runbook that basically can now be aware of and talk to resource groups, resources inside resource groups, VMs that are what we call V2s internally. For how they work. So basically, it's just now catching up with the rest of the different components. Because as individual teams make services available on Azure, they basically have to make this choice. Are we going to continue to develop for the V1, which is Service Manager configurations, mm-hmm. or the V2, which is Azure Resource Manager configurations? So it now supports it. It's awesome. Check out the links to see what's there to make sure it's all there. There actually is, hilariously enough, today, right now, probably actually taking place by the time we wrap up the show, the Azure Backup team is doing an AMA on Reddit right now.
Right. But if you're watching this, people, it will be too late.
But you can watch the replays. Yeah. So I'll have the link to the replays in case you're interested. Right. I am interested to see how many people are involved with an AMA on Azure Backup. It's a very specific topic.
Yeah.
For what that is. But that one there is available there.
A lot of people know that it exists yet.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty impressive, the stuff you can do with it. I was actually talking with you about implementing it for...
I was there.
for our own internal lab systems that we need to have.
Yes.
Another good friend of mine, Ross Gardler, or Gardler, I was going to put an N in there for some reason, a recent import or expat from the UK that came across and used to work for Microsoft OpenTech, now works for the Azure Compute team. He is actually talking about our new gated preview of the Azure Container Service, now available on Azure. That was released not too long ago. What a gated preview means is basically we're looking for select test candidates that would like to go through and actively use this new container service up on Azure. It's obviously going to be talking about using Docker and then Swarm and then also Mesosphere, so different implementations of how you can use containers up on top of Azure. They're looking for people to participate inside the gated preview to get more actual live people using it, the service, so we can make it better before it goes GA for everybody else. So he goes through and has a nice article talking about the entire container service, the architecture for how it works across Docker Swarm as an example for one of them. He's got a video for some stuff they did recently for how to use and start using Docker and Azure Container Service that he did for, I want to say it wasn't AzureCon, it was recently maybe the Cloud Roadshow or something like that. I did a little video for them that's up there. And then, you know, to be completely self-promotional, we actually did a Tuesdays with Corey about the container service being available as well. And lastly, before my time runs out, because I have no idea how much time is left, we've got another distro available, officially supported on Azure, which is Debian or Debian. I call it Debian myself.
Debian.
You have the emphasis. Hey, the emphasis on the wrong syllable. they've got Debian GNU. New. Linux is now... the silent GNU?
GNU.
GNU.
New.
Is now available inside the Azure Marketplace as well.
Yeah, Debian 7 and 8.
Yeah, you got it. So very interesting. It's now available, which basically means that we cover... I don't know the exact marketing percentage numbers that we have coverage, but basically now we have Red Hat. Look at that. Does that mean someone's going
to
bring me some tea or
back
something?
To my high school days.
The stop button hasn't stopped yet. I'm all out of ideas now.
Okay. Someone put the snooze button on, would you?
Right. There we go. It's come.
It covers Red Hat, Debian, and then also all the other distros that we normally support, like SLES and CentOS and numerous other ones. Ubuntu's up there too. So that's it for the Azure world. A whole bunch of stuff. That's the most things I've covered in 5 minutes.
I hope nobody watched last week's and then watched this week's, because there was quite a few things that you talked about as
it
well.
It was additional stuff that was added.
I can copy and paste the links. It's going to save me a lot of time.
Nice. Okay, so.
Right, here we go. So I'll fix the timer to a different noise now. So, we need to give you a round of applause.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Can we get a slightly more sarcastic round of applause? Like, slightly slower?
Well, I have to ask the app maker.
Nice.
That is of the sound effects.
They have feedback options, right? And here we go, spinning around. Where it stops, nobody knows. Where's it going?
It's quite a long spin.
It's going to be O's.
Yep, O's. Right.
So, can you have the right camera on there?
Hang on, I got the 5 minutes.
Can I do the right camera,
please?
I've got you the 5 minutes. Are you ready?
Make sure you can't see the timer. Like, you got to turn your laptop. There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Can't see it.
It's thanks for the motivation.
I've not got much leverage now. Hang on. Yeah. There we go. Right.
Got it.
Starting the timer with a random ending noise now.
Oh, it was a voice I'm expecting. Okay. We have a...
Your time has started.
We have a brand new certification, and it's, even for the new Microsoft, a bit untraditional certification. It's Linux on Azure. So
repeat that, please.
It's a new certification. It's a MCSA certification, and it's called Linux on Azure.
I did hear that right.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Nice. Yeah, so yeah, who's it for? Is it for Azure guys or is it for Linux guys? Or both?
It's for both, actually. Right. The certification was created in conjunction with the Linux Foundation. It's foundation is taking care of the Linux and open source. They are a non-profit organization. And to be able to get this certification, you need to pass two exams. First, about Azure, the 533, the implementing Azure infrastructure solutions, and the Linux Foundation's certified system administrator exam. So you need to pass these two exams. And I think this is a very good sign that Microsoft is not just, you know, investing in putting distribution support, and also they are trying to, we are trying to care about the future career paths of people. Like, you may be an open source guy, but if you want to run your workloads on Azure, be our guest. Mm. So here's a certification. Here's the proof that you know how to run workloads on Azure.
So do both exams really go into Linux skills, or is it just the second one that you mentioned? Because the first one is mainly Azure.
Yeah, the first one is mainly how to deploy, you know, infrastructure solutions on Azure, and the other one is like the foundational Linux administrator.
Okay.
I was about to say, you have to pass that exam, you realize.
What do you mean?
You have to pass 532 or 533 or 534.
Me specifically?
Yes, everyone inside our organization.
All right, great.
So you better start
studying. Have you guys done it?
Yeah. I've done it. I've passed.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm busy at the moment. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, look at that.
Nice.
It's so not to Matt's manager. Okay.
Nice.
Which is your manager. Yours, currently.
So Volker, if you're listening,
yes,
he's got a... He's got to do some more
work. This is actually a good test to see if Volker's listening.
Yeah. Carry on.
Nice.
Yes, and there's a sale now. So normally this Linux exam is $300, and now it's only $179.
That's a bargain.
Wow.
Yeah.
A bargain.
And if you call in the next 5 minutes...
we'll give you a free set of inflatable penguins.
And this lovely Azure data center here.
Oh, I was hoping for a plushy penguin rather than that's a different
Nice.
Yeah, make sure you just... it's a good certification, even for a starting point. If you're considering, you know, running Azure, just do it. Just take the exams.
Are there any study materials for people?
Yeah, for Azure exam, of course, we have many material. And for the Linux one, there are some free sources, and also they have another package like a training package, including the exam.
Okay.
And the training is pretty cool. You have hands-on labs. You have the option to use Ubuntu, CentOS, or OpenSUSE or CentOS.
Nice.
So if you're familiar with one distribution, one package manager, you don't have to know all of the things about the other one. You can just use, hey, I am an apt-get guy. I want to do the thing in Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. You're good to go.
Nice.
So it's really cool. And the other one is about application insights. Application Insights is our monitoring solution for applications running on production. Mm-hmm. And we have now integrated with Glimpse. Glimpse is another application. It's an open source application, and it's like a diagnosis application. So it just analyzes all the requests being done to an application. And right now, Glimpse can integrate with App Insights, meaning that it can take the logs of App Insights and shove it inside Glimpse. So if you're using Glimpse, you have now more, you know, information about how the app is performing, and you have any performance problems, any usage problems, how your website scales under load, that kind of stuff. So it just integrates. And this is, again, how we are working with the open source community. We are trying to go where they are instead of trying to, you know, invite them to us. Mm-hmm. So I think they're both good direction for us as Microsoft.
So would you use both of those tools? You'd use App Insights and Glimpse, or you'd just use App Insights as a source for Glimpse?
Yeah, you can do both.
Right. They do show different information.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Obviously, I don't use them, but...
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking the question. There you go.
Okay, that's all for me.
No, come on. You got to ask us a question. You got to be able to have some kind of filler. We have to make.
I'm a little bit concerned about these exams now.
You need some time to study. Maybe Christmas Day is the time for that.
Well, I'm not doing anything else. Yeah, I won't get any presents. Ooh, study guide. How generous.
Actually, you just raised a good point there. What does everybody want for Christmas?
What?
A study guide.
Okay.
Well, we have to talk about DevOps stuff right now, man. This is the DevOps 5 minutes.
Kyle's back.
I was hoping to get a good DevOps answer. That was the
let's save that question. What do you want for Christmas? Okay. Until
the Phoenix Project book.
The end. Oh, I think we have that one already, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll save that
we
one.
We still owe somebody a copy somewhere. That's dropped off the radar.
We have tons of copies in our office.
Yeah.
Don't say that because you're going to be on the hook to be able to get it.
Yep.
Okay, you get to spin this, man. Can you reach around and get that?
Oh, my first spinner.
It's working out perfectly, this spinner. It's
there you go, man.
It's going like right. clockwise perfectly.
I know.
It is going perfect.
Right, so that's Dev and Azure stuff.
See, I always see this as so unfair because you see what's going on, and you also have the ability to pull up slides, and you also run the timer.
I offered to let you view a web page, but you said, oh, I've got too many links.
I just want to confirm.
And you play the cool
does nobody else start their own timer?
No.
Because I do.
No. You can't run your own timer.
It's not connected to the sound.
Well, exactly, but I can see it, so I know how long I've got.
He can just
yeah, that's
I prefer to live vicariously and just
right.
throw caution to the wind.
I'll tell you what.
Not vicariously, serendipitously.
Oh.
To be able just to, you know, on a whim, go ahead and talk what I want to talk about.
It's like a kettle of worms talking to him. Right, I'll start the timer, and then I'll minimize it, and then I won't know. All right, just so you know. It's lucky I've even got audio this week.
Nice.
You know. Right, so I'll start it for 5 minutes. Here we go. There we go. Right, minimizing. It's gone. Yeah?
Can you verify it's gone?
Well, you can verify on the screen.
I can't see it.
It's 5 minutes and it's gone.
So I didn't have any new announcements as such this week. The one I usually rely on, OMS, who seems to bring out features. I have nothing on my screen yet, in case you were thinking about it.
No, if you want me to show something,
I'll let you know. OMS, who seem to bring out features right, left, and center on a weekly basis. They've not done anything this week, so come on, get a move on. So I wanted to talk about something I was going to talk about last week, but ran out of time. Was licensing, and I know it's a topic that we don't tend to deep breaths. Yeah, get cozy, get comfy, and it's only
cause stunning it's information.
It's important.
Week,
it's important, and it's important not only to understand what it is, but the ramifications of what it means going forward with Windows Server 2016, because we changed the licensing, and I have got something on my screen now. So Windows Server 2016, unlike 2012 R2, is moving away from the standard and data center editions being feature parity. So it used to be, I think in 2008, we had standard enterprise data center. As you went up those SKUs, the features differed. Now, in 2012 and 2012 R2, they were parity. So standard and data center editions both had the same features and functionality. The only real difference was the virtualization rights to run VMs on those hosts. In 2016, we're moving towards a non-parity model again. So data center will have more features and functionality in it, as well as the additional virtualization stroke containers rights as well. And the key things that it has, both of them have nano server. So if you're thinking, well, where does nano server fit in this? You can use nano with standard or data centers, no problem there. But as you see on the screen, data center edition has some of the new storage features, storage spaces direct, storage replica, the new shielded VMs and host guardian service, which I've been playing with quite a bit this week.
Is that why you're cursing and that sort of stuff on the side of the wall?
Well, I finally figured out that it can't be run in a nested environment right now. So yes, that's why my laptop hit the wall. Yeah, good tip. So don't try it in nested just yet or you will want to cause harm to people. The networking stack, the network controller, the software load balancer, all that is in the data center edition as well. So more features going into that data center than standard. And the license model is changing from a per socket basis, where you would, regardless of the number of cores you've got in that system, to a per core model, of which you will buy per two cores. Now you might think, well, my systems have got loads of cores, how is this going to impact me, am I going to pay more money, etc. The key takeaway is, if your systems have processors with 8 cores or less, generally your pricing is going to be pretty much the same as at 2012 R2. And there's a table in the licensing documentation that I'll provide links to that you can get all this information. So for the most part, if you can see it on the screen, everything in blue there, you'll see if you've got a four-way server with 8 cores per processor or two sockets with 8 cores per processor, it's going to be the same. So you're going to not need to pay any more money. It might just be a little bit more tricky to add up your licenses, count how many you need, but this document goes through all of that. And that was the big announcement that we made last week or so. And it's important. It's important you understand where we're going with that. For the most part, it shouldn't cost you any more money unless you've got servers that have got a ton of cores. Doesn't matter whether they've got hyper-threading, all of that stuff. If you've got a ton of cores in your servers, in your per proc, then it may cost you a little bit more money. But again, check this document to see whether it applies to you. the debate.
I really like the table because the beginning of the document, it's a bit confusing.
Yeah.
You start to feel like, yeah, how many cores do I have? But you just saw that now. Okay.
Most of the document is confusing apart from that table. Yeah. So yeah, that's where you should spend most of your time. The key takeaway with that change in approach with data center and standard, some features will not be in the standard edition. So just bear that in mind. It may be that you were thinking, well, I'll just stick on standard. Now, if you want a certain feature that has excited you about 2016, it's only in data center, then that may have ramifications for you. But yeah, the data center, the licensing for data center and standard, all well documented in this data sheet. If you want to give feedback, go onto the user voice page. I'll provide the link in the comments as well. If you do want to voice your feedback on these changes, positive or negative, I can imagine it swings more towards the negative if you read what's on there already. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to base any possible judgment on the whether the approach is right or not. It's been made, and we just have to adhere to it. So there you go. So that was all I wanted to cover. I didn't quite fit it in last week. Apart from that, that's all of my news this week. I'm not sure how it will affect VMs on Azure and stuff like that, but the licensing data sheet will go through all that kind of stuff as well. Any questions? How much are what?
I'm pretty sure we haven't announced pricing as of yet.
Yeah, it's on there. It's on the data sheet. Price, $6,155. Retail price for data.
Nice.
It's on the data sheet.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Is that a cow that's floated down the stream in Duval?
Let's not go there. Yeah. So yesterday, I didn't think I was going to get into the office today to do the filming because Duval is where I live in Washington State is very flooded. So much so that on one of the roads leading to Redmond to get here, the water is at the height of the numbers, the top of the numbers on a speed limit sign.
Wow.
And that's higher than our car. So that's on one part of the road. And there are only four main roads out of Duval or in, and three of them are closed currently. So I was thinking I might be swimming to work.
I was going
to
say, did you swim here?
With our daughter on our back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, there you go.
Okay, we don't have to spin this time around because we know who's left.
That's just me.
Mr. May.
Yes.
Mr. May is coming up. And no, you can't use that. If I see you start that, you default.
Okay. I'm going to start
just
it.
Just so you know.
Okay. I didn't get my round of applause. Anyway, never mind. Are you ready? 5 minutes on the clock. Thanks. Slow clap.
Thanks.
And go.
I'll pause it.
There you go.
Okay, I'm sure I can still fit this in into that time.
That's what you said last time. You gave us no extra time.
No extra time in the end of the
nice.
Time. Okay, so this week, a couple of interesting things. The first one being a fairly major release that we've been quite quiet about, System Center Configuration Manager, the new version.
SCCM.
Released. SCCM, ConfigMan, whichever one of the many acronyms you want to call this product, was released, and lots of changes inside of this. First thing is that it isn't called System Center Configuration Manager 2016. We've dropped the year from this product because as of this point moving forward, it's now a SaaSified application.
Is that a real term?
Yeah, that's well,
SaaSified.
Yeah. SaaSified.
I'm SaaSified.
Yeah, I'm very going sassy. Out on night on the tiles and I'm SaaSified. Yeah.
Very sassy application. Yeah. What it basically means is that the way that ConfigMan is now built is that we're going to have very much the same kind of release mechanisms that we have in other places like with Windows. So with ConfigMan, we're now calling this current release, the current branch release, which is the same terminology we use for Windows. This is 15.11, meaning that this code was committed on November 15th. So kind of an obvious way of being able to see the versioning there. And every month there's going to be a new preview so that people can start to understand what's coming in the next release of ConfigMan, and then they can start to see how they're going to use those features. One of the main reasons that we've done this is because Windows has moved to the Windows as a service model where every so often we're just going to release new updates, new features inside of Windows. And those new features obviously need management capability. And that management capability for most enterprises comes from Configuration Manager. So the two things need to be able to stay in lockstep. And we kind of think this is a pretty major thing because if you're using any other systems management software to manage your endpoints, they don't really have a good way of coping with this right now. It's kind of a major architectural change that we've put in place with this new version of Configuration Manager. Very, very important thing that we can keep ConfigMan aligned with Windows, but it's also going to be aligned with Intune. So for a long time, we've been getting a lot of feedback from customers that when we release something really cool inside of Intune, like MAM without device enrollment, which we released a few weeks ago.
Ma'am.
Yeah. That actually,
not moms.
there are moms and moms.
Let's just expand that acronym. Mobile application management.
There we go.
We covered it last week as well.
So we did, and the week before, in fact, because it's such an important thing.
Yep.
Really want folks to realize just how important it is that we have this capability. It's kind of groundbreaking. But so that Intune features and ConfigMAM features can stay in line, the two things are now intrinsically linked together. We've already deployed this inside of Microsoft. In fact, we did it over a weekend.
What?
You guys probably don't even know this, but you are running the agents for, most likely, for the latest version of ConfigMAM. So over a weekend, that was updated, and we're now updating the ConfigMAM client on
I've got a question for you on this.
Yeah.
Just because I need to ask. So how do I know if it's on my phone? Like my phone, do I have to enroll it inside my company portal or something like that for it to be on my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a matter of if I have access to my mailbox on my phone?
Okay. So two things. So if you are running on Windows Phone 8.1, for example, then you'd actually have to go and enroll the client for Intune.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what MSIT recommend. It'll push down Wi-Fi. It'll push down VPN policies. If, however, you're running Windows 10, then you automatically, when you add your mail profile, get enrollment into Intune.
It's just the mail profile on Windows 10.
M-A-I-L.
Yeah, mail.
M-A-L-E.
With these arms and moms and mams.
Yeah. So as soon as you add, essentially, actually, as you add your Microsoft account, your Microsoft account, not your MSI.
But not like workplace
device.
Connection. It's actually just
I think I must have it on my phone.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's not ConfigMAM. Really it's Intune, isn't it?
It's what, sorry?
That's Intune.
Yes, but they're the same thing.
Right.
So it helps the two things manage together.
Right.
That's kind of freaky, cool. Man. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You've been watched.
Well, the good thing is I'm on
8.1. Yeah. It's actually not so much that you're being watched. It's that there is containerization of your data. So if you leave the company and they hit wipe, then they'll take out all of the, say, the corporate applications that you've got installed on your device as well.
That's just freaky cool.
There's none of them on there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's one of the announcements. The other one is around Azure Remote App. So a bunch of Azure Remote App updates went out. One of the things that we've got out there is actually two new pricing options, which address something that we've had a lot of feedback on, which was that we used to have a 20 user minimum. We've now brought that down to 5. So 5 user minimum now makes Azure Remote App applicable to more people.
Nice.
Wow.
We've also made it so that the iOS and Android clients are mobile application management through Intune aware. So they're using the SDK, which means that we can remote wipe them.
Nice. You can finish.
I can. That's it. I'm done.
All right. There you go. That was good.
So I want to know what you guys want for Christmas.
Nice.
I don't know what I want. There's not much I need, really. Maybe some new servers in the lab. Some that aren't from this side of 2010.
Yeah, we're talking about the migration of some stuff that's been a very old server. It's been like a hand-me-down that we've had inside of our team for the longest time.
Yeah.
And what was it again?
It's two DL385 G1s.
A G1.
G1s.
Yeah. I brought up the page and it was just an unhappy face to get the drivers onto the website. It's like, what are you doing? Wow. How is this still working?
So no surprises there. The on-premises guy wants to have a new rack of servers for Christmas.
Nicer lights. Nicer lights.
Nice.
Things that I can touch, please.
How about you, Oz? What's up, man? What do you think for a nice Christmas gift for you?
Oh, it's not a gift. I'm flying back to Turkey to do the real relocation.
Ah,
so it will be packing and, you know, trying to do things right.
And are you bringing family back over with you?
Yeah, my wife is finally coming to the US.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Has she been here before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
I hope she came here before deciding to move here.
Yeah.
Don't let her.
I'm sure she listens to the show as well.
Yeah. But the weather is really sunny.
Yeah. Nice. I've been about flooding before.
It was completely false.
Yeah.
Christmas time in the household with the last name of Claus. It's very special. And on top of the fact, it's also my son's birthday on the 25th of December.
Oh, nice.
As well. What do I want for Christmas? I'm actually hoping to do a stereo upgrade in my car, in my Jeep.
Nice.
Just real simple. I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy, so I've been doing my research in different forums and stuff like that, and I found the actual speakers, low-profile speakers that'll fit inside my grills and be able to swap them out. It's probably going to cost about $100, so I'm hoping my wife gets the hints. Other than that, it's going to be obviously motorcycle parts for my motorcycle. Non-technology.
And is there going to be a special brew for... for the season.
So Christmas Time Brew currently is actually a very high, high, high alcohol Scotch ale. It comes out at about 9% right now.
Wow.
They'll be ready for the Christmas time, and I'll make sure I'll bring some in. We can sample it here if you want.
Because everyone wants a headache on a Thursday.
Of course. Perfect. So that one is currently aging. It'll be ready around Christmas time.
Nice. Excellent. Right. So we're going to go to the Twitters.
No. We forgot about Mr. May, what he wants for Christmas. He asked the question.
Sorry.
I hadn't even thought of an answer for myself.
There you go. See? That's where we put you on the spot.
I want nothing because I want to spend no more money.
You just got a house.
Yes. Yeah. But I would like to spend no more money this month, please.
Nice. Looking at the Twitters. You know what's a better sound than that? If you have it, I think crickets. Crickets is a better sound.
This is the closest I've got.
Bees.
Yeah. Bees or flies or something like that. Yeah. We have a whopping 149 followers.
I think it was 145 last week.
So I think we've gone up by 4. So I think that's each of our significant others that are now following us now.
No.
We're up to 149. So if you want to, you can get a hold of us and reach out to us on at the Ops Team all together. And we promise we will tweet some more. We do need to tweet some more. In case you guys don't know, the account automatically tweets an episode when it's published.
Oh, does it?
So I've set up automation at least at that level.
All right. Nice.
But we all have to actually add it as a client to be able to tweet stuff.
Right.
Sometimes. That's about it from the Twitter side.
No comments, no nothing.
Nothing. Oh, well. Absolutely nothing.
I did only publish the other one, the last episode.
You were delayed in tweeting, I think, because Mr. Opsdev over there was late in getting his video to
Although,
you.
Yeah, well, I got it on Monday, but I had some other stuff to do, so I finished editing. It took a while. But
so how does someone get a hold of you, Mr. McSpirit?
At Matt McSpirit, always.
And O's, man.
It's going to be tricky. It's OGUZPASTIRMACI.
Yes. Wow. On the blog post.
That'll be on the blog post. I don't know how to
wrong
be able to
choice of that. Handle. I just accepted.
Well, you need to work on your brand some more.
Yeah,
you need to work on your brand.
We've all got a Twitter handle that haunts us.
Mr. May
at SciMonster,
and I'm at SignRicksterCDN. And if you want to send us a comment by the old-fashioned email, not even snail mail, the email. If you want to get a hold of us, it's theopsteam@microsoft.com. I think that's also been very quiet as well, unless Clutter is going ahead and moving stuff for me.
Well,
I didn't
it's
know
not
about.
Going in my inbox.
To be fair, we used to get a lot of spam on the old address, so
that's true.
It's kind of okay.
It's kind of okay to be able to do that one there. Yeah. I don't mind that one there at all. But I think we're over time. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. It's been fun, and we will catch you next week. I think next week's going to be our final show before Christmas.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Are we going to do silly jumpers?
Yeah.
Silly jumpers, ugly sweaters. I'm probably going to change out my hat for a Santa hat or something like that.
So nice.
We'll see what we turn up with next Thursday.
Yep.
Oh, I just gave away what day we record now.
We told people in the past.
Oh, okay. That's true, too. Anyway, if you want to be mentioned on the Christmas show, get a hold of us at @TheOpsTeam or TheOpsTeamXF.com. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.